Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using, I think, as long as there have been Christians. The Lord be with you. Thanks. I appreciate starting our service with that little exchange, because there are Sundays where I've been running in 12 different directions, and it's good to just be reminded, wait a minute, God is here, He's in charge, everything's going to be fine. And I don't know what your morning's been like. Maybe you're walking in just ready to thank Him and praise Him for all the good stuff. Maybe you're just barely dragged yourself here, and you need that reminder too, that God meets us right in the middle of life and all that goes with it. So I'd love it if we could bow our heads and pray as we begin today's service. Thank you, God, for the chance to gather together to sing to you and pray to you, to listen for your Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, and to gather around the table of our Lord Jesus. God, our prayer is that everything we do today, that you would use it to help connect our hearts to yours, to remind us that you are present with us here in the midst of life, that your grace can impact everything that is right now weighing on our hearts, buzzing through our minds. God, help us to not pretend that any of that's not there, but help us instead to just bring all of it to you, trusting that the God who made us really does love us, and that you can do something about all the stuff of our lives. Thank you, God. We are so grateful for the opportunity to tune our hearts to you, to have this communication with you, this interaction with the God who made us. We are grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin.
No! I don't usually sit down, but I have found out this week that you can bruise the cartilage around your lungs from doing too much. And as you can tell, I can't do a whole lot. So I'm just thanking God that it's still possible to come and worship him no matter what our infirmities, whatever the problems are, whatever ways the devil has tried to stop us from being here. This might be new to some of you. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock. Praying. Jesus, you're always providing for us. You give us the breath. You give us the means to live our lives for you, Lord. It's just an amazing thing when you think about it. That he's providing for me. He's providing for you. He's providing for you. He's providing for you. You gave your life. Thank you. praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, my King of heaven.
Amen. Amen. From Philippians chapter 4, it says, always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do, and remember the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Join me in praying, if you would, please. Father, we are so thankful this morning for the way you have provided for us. Often before we even knew we were going to have a need, Lord, you were already provided whatever it was. Father, we are so thankful this morning that you see into our lives, you see into our hearts, Lord, and you are giving us everything that we need and so much more, Lord, that we can't even imagine because it's just beyond what our finite little minds can even comprehend. I thank you for that reminder this morning, Lord, that as we gather here together, Lord, if we were to sit and tell all of the ways that you have kept us and you've provided for us and you have helped us to thrive and given us all that we need and so much more, Lord, we would be here forever, for an eternity, trying to exalt all that you are and all that you do. And Lord, though we don't deserve it, we still are so very grateful. I thank you for each person that's here. Folks we've known for a very long time, folks that are new to us today, Lord, we are so thankful for each one. For the stories that we have of the way that you have saved us, that you have rescued us, you've redeemed us, you've bringing us out of some really, really yucky stuff, Lord. You really, truly are so good to us. And though we can never say thank you enough, we certainly are going to try. I thank you for our pastor this morning, for Pastor Rich. I thank you for the word you've already given him. I thank you for the way that we see your word working in the lives of each and every one of us. Continue to use him, Lord, as he is surrendered to you, as he's laid down his life. And continue to use each of us as, Lord, we learn more and more what it is to look like you and be like you and act like you. And use each one of us, Lord. In a world that needs peace, you are the only peace that we have. We thank you this morning again. We can't say it enough. And we give you all the blessing and honor and praise that you deserve, Lord, as we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
right. While all of us in the room are finding our way back to our seats, just want to say hi real quick to all of you joining us online. We're glad that you're with us. And since we couldn't shake your hand just now, if you drop us a note in the comments, let us know you were here. We'd appreciate that. And if there's any way we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, all that good stuff, you can use that link on the screen. Go to livinghope.info/connect, and you can let us know something privately. We can pray for you, thank God with you, answer a question for you. The same goes for all of us in the room. Or you can just grab one of the little green Connect cards back there, jot your note on it, drop it in the offering box, and that'll work too. If you're giving today, you can drop that in there. You can scan the code, give online, use the link. All that stuff works. Thank you to those of you who give so faithfully. We honestly could not do any of the stuff that we do without all of us pitching in and being a part of it. So thank you. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to connect here and what we're about and what this church is that you're thinking about giving to, maybe, I don't know. Living Hope 101 is coming up in a couple of weeks, October 19th. We're going to have a little lunch meeting. If you'd like to join us for some pizza and conversation, I think pizza. Yeah, we'll do pizza. And so I'd just like to know so I got enough food and enough handouts. You can get to know a couple other folks from the church and ask whatever questions you want. And we'll walk through kind of what makes us different from the church down the street. And there's a couple other things I put on the back of the bulletin, but we don't have on the screen. Some of you have been asking when the next Tutor Taco Tuesday is going to be. That's something we just open our doors and let James Tutor have fun in here one Tuesday a month, raising money for a different nonprofit. This month it'll be for Special Olympics. And so on the 14th, if you want to come out and make a donation and eat some tacos, you can support Special Olympics. And then the food truck's back, so Wednesday, if you'd like, they'll be out there serving lunch. Is it right? End of October. I mean, October, you're kind of, after October, you're kind of winterizing the thing and whatever. Okay, so you only have a few more Wednesdays if you want to come out and have lunch at the food truck. And if you have questions about what you're supporting with that, Sam would be happy to answer them, all about her nonprofit that is helping people coming out of incarceration. So I feel like there's probably some other things I should be announcing. Continue to pray for those. There are women that are wrapping up the great banquet right now, today, and then in a couple of weeks, the Teens Awakening Weekend will be happening. And I would love for us, before we get into the message, come here a second. Pastor Judy, we're going to miss her the next couple of Sundays because she's going to be preaching in another church, and then she's making a trip down to Brazil to serve down there and to speak and preach and serve and do all kinds of things. I would love it if we could just pray for you real quick. You don't have to say anything. She's like, what do I have to do? All right. Can we just pray for Pastor Judy that she'll have safe travels and that God will work through her? All right. Thank you, God. Thank you for the ways that you are at work in Pastor Judy's life. Thank you for the connections that she's been able to make around the world, including these in Brazil. God, as she preaches at a nearby church next Sunday and then has opportunities to minister in Brazil the week after that, God, we pray that you would protect her, that you would speak through her, that you'd grant her all the wisdom and power that you have for her, and that people would be blessed as your grace flows through her into their lives, just like we have been blessed here at Living Hope. So thank you, God. Thank you for the ways you're at work, and thank you that this morning we get a chance to center our hearts on you, to hear you speaking through your word. We are grateful, and we pray that you would help us to hear whatever it is you want to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks. Boy, you didn't see the nerves on her face as I was asking her to come up here. Well, I mentioned last Sunday that we were looking at one of the most terrifying aspects of the Christian life, as we were talking about, like, reaching out to others. And today, though, is one of the topics that's most terrifying for the guy standing in these shoes. I shouldn't say that. It's one of those things that people complain about with churches. We've had so many people that have visited us at one time or another, and I ask them about their church background, and they say, oh, yeah, years ago we went to a church, but, man, we quit going. All they cared about was our money. Like, that's all they cared about. And today we're going to talk a little bit about money, and I know that for some of you it's like, uh-oh, why'd I pick today to be here? But if you have been here before when we've talked about money, then you're not too nervous. I put right in your notes my favorite verse when it comes to giving that's in the Bible, and it's on the little offering box back there and everything. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, which means you never have to worry about me standing up here, twisting your arm, trying to compel you to give to something that you don't want to give to. All right? Now, I might let you know about opportunities to give, to be generous, whether it's to this church or to other people or whatever it might be, but I'm never going to twist your arm. I'm never going to try to make you feel guilty or anything like that, because that's not what God wants for us as givers, as people who've been entrusted with resources. So But we are going to talk about, since last week we were talking about, that out part of our mission, connecting with a world that needs God's love. It's not just us that gives our time and our energy to reaching out to other people, but our resources are a part of that too. And I want to see all the dollars that are in our bank accounts. I want us to see that this is something entrusted to us for God's purposes, for God's mission in the world. And sure, he lets us spend some of it on, you know, food and clothes and shelter and fun and those kinds of things. But the reason he's given us what he's given us, the reason he's entrusted it to us for the time that we live here is in part so that we can be a part of his work in the world, so that we can do good with those dollars. That's where he goes, the author of this letter, Paul, right after that verse. He says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Did you see the "so that" in there? The "so that." He's saying God will bless you abundantly. He's able to bless you. He's able to give you all that you need so that you can go to Disney every single summer, or so that you can upgrade your car every chance you get. No, he doesn't, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, sure, so that you will abound in every good work. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. As it's written, and he quotes one of the Psalms, "They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." He says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower," I think he's seeing that "freely scattered their gifts." He's thinking like that's like a sower who has seeds that he's scattering that's going to grow in the ground. "He supplies seed to the sower, and then the harvest, the bread for food. He'll also supply and increase your store of seed," your resources, "will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness as you scatter those seeds, as you share those with the poor, with others. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." If you read the context for why he's writing to these Christians about this, he visited them before, and he's told them about a need in another part of the Mediterranean world, and he said, "So we're going to, every place I'm stopping, I'm giving people the opportunity to give to that need, and so when I come back through, you guys can figure out how much you want to give, if you want to give to that, and when I come back through, I'll collect it, and I'll take it to them." And so that's what he's saying. When you give to meet this need, he says, through us carrying this gift of yours to meet these needs, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's something I think about. I know we're still a little ways away from Thanksgiving. Oftentimes when I'm talking about this topic, I choose to do it in the month of November. We've got other plans for November, so I'm talking about it in October. But often we're approaching Thanksgiving, and I think about, boy, who am I thankful for? And who down the road is going to be thankful for me? And I want you to think about that. Who might be thanking God for you? Who have you extended yourself to? Maybe it is you've given extra time, extra energy. Maybe you've invested your life in someone who now is thanking God for the ways that you cared for them. Maybe you've scattered resources through an organization that you might never meet the recipients of. Just like we do that 6K walk every year with World Vision. And thankfully, they put the face of the kid who's going to get clean water because of that. But I don't know that I'll ever meet any of those kids this side of heaven. But those kids, when they get clean water, having talked to the people from World Vision who are present when they finally open those wells and there's celebration, you can watch videos of celebrations that take place, they are extremely thankful for you, for your generosity, and the way that made that possible for them. So I want to see us live with the sense that our money is on mission, to live out the "so that" in those verses, that God blesses us not just for what we need, but so that we can also be generous and bless others. Now, there's a passage in 1 Timothy that reminds us that God does give us this for our enjoyment. First, we got to get through this first part. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." He says right there, God provides us for our enjoyment. There's nothing wrong with taking joy in what God's provided you, right? I don't want us to, and I don't think God wants us to sit there and think, "Oh, I shouldn't have enjoyed that meal out because I could have helped somebody with that money. I shouldn't have, spent that money on something fun for my family because, oh, we could have helped somebody with that." I want you to live with a real sense, an assurance from God, that you are handling the resources entrusted to you in a way that is faithful to him. so that you don't have those feelings of guilt, but instead, as God's Holy Spirit does nudge you and encourage you to change your financial life, that you do that in response to opportunity, in response to the generous love of God to you, not out of a sense of guilt like, oh, I shouldn't ever do anything fun, or we shouldn't ever get to enjoy what God's entrusted to us. He tells us right there, he richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. But he does say, in the very next words, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves as a firm foundation. Oh, they'll lay up, sorry, treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Maybe you've known someone that you've thought, yeah, they got sidetracked. They thought that what true life was about how much they could accumulate, how big a number they could get into their bank account, how big of a house they could finally own, how nice of a, I don't know, car, pool, whatever kinds of things, whatever the luxuries are that people get, you know, that they think, ah, this is the life. And he's saying, no, the true life is so much more than that. The life that is truly life is a life that is coming, a life from God's kingdom, a life that's on its way. And if all we do is pile up stuff for ourselves here, we're going to miss out on that. I know that some of you right now are saying, hang on, that was for the rich. He said, command those who are rich in this present world. I'm not rich. Other people are rich. And I want to acknowledge we got folks all across the socioeconomic spectrum present in our congregation and in this room. All right, we've got some of us in this room that are doing very, very well, and some of us who have almost nothing. All right, you guys know that. Our church is a church that welcomes people of all sorts, and so we've got folks who don't have a place to lay their head tonight, and we've got folks with like a second home, you know, that's in some other place, like a vacation spot. You know, we've got the whole spectrum here. But when the Bible talks about people who are rich in this present world, he's thinking about the vast majority of us in this room. He's not just thinking about the Elon Musks, who is he? Did I see he's going to be like the world's first trillionaire at some point soon or something like that? He's not just talking about people who have accumulated like crazy, impossible to wrap our heads around amounts of money. He's talking to people who'd like, oh, nope, I've just got extra. I've got enough to supply all my needs and I've got a little more. He's like, oh, fantastic, you're rich. Now make sure that you, yes, you enjoy it, but also make sure that you're doing good, being generous and willing to share. Because that's how we take hold of the life that is truly life. We'll come back to that in just a minute from a story that Jesus tells. But first, we're going to go back to the Old Testament because this idea that God provides and that it all belongs to him, that is found from the very first pages of the Bible when God creates Adam and Eve and tells them that like they are responsible. They're to work this garden and care for it. They're to be like caretakers of creation, of all this world that God has created. We didn't make it. God did. And he entrusts it to our care. And we see that time and time again, God provides for people. Most notably, when you get to the part of the story about the people of Israel and how they end up as slaves in Egypt, and then in the book of Exodus, God leads them out of slavery. You know, they have had nothing as slaves. They've had less than nothing. They've had their lives were not their own, their children taken from them, all sorts of ugliness that took place as slaves in Egypt. And now God is setting them free, and he's leading them to a land that's going to be like rich and abundant and where the things are going to grow. They have this whole time in the wilderness in between where God's helping them learn to trust him. But then as they're right on the edge of entering into the promised land, we read in the book of Deuteronomy this warning that God gives through Moses for what this is going to be like, this transition for them. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, which it might have been a while since they've eaten and were satisfied. You know, they might have just had enough to sustain their life, but to really be able to sit back and go, oh, yeah, that was good. He says, when that happens, when you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. He's saying you went through this difficult time where God provided your daily bread, this manna that would appear in the mornings on the ground. They had to collect it and mash it, and it was like cornflakes or something on the ground. We're not really sure. But they had to, you know, beat it into flour and make their bread, and they had to do this every day. He daily provided what they needed. He says he did this to humble you and test you so that in the end it would go well with you. It was like training ground, saying, making sure that his people were, people would say, okay, God, you're the one who provides. You're the one who sustains us, in the hopes that once they are truly richly blessed with this abundant, this land that like stuff actually grows when they put it in the ground. They've been in the wilderness, right? There's just enough stuff growing out of the ground for the sheep to like munch on and stay alive, but not enough they could actually plant and grow crops, and they were moving all the time anyway, but now they're getting to settle down. Now they're going to be able to plant crops and things will grow, and he wants to make sure he's got a people who will say, oh, but God, all this came from you. You've provided this. You've blessed us. And he's warning them about the danger that when we have enough and when we have more than enough, well, as he continues, he says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. When we grow up in this world, when we live in the world that we live in, the message that we get is, it's my power, strength of my hands, that have produced this wealth for me. I mean, that's the lesson that we're taught, right? You got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, which is impossible if you've ever tried it. Anyway, but you know, you gotta work hard, and we do work hard, right? We work, we earn what we've got, and it's no wonder that we say, wait, I earned that paycheck. I sweat for that. You know, I worked for that. That's why, you know, I deserve what's coming to me. You know, that's my pay. And if your boss doesn't give it to you, you know, hey, wait a minute, I deserve that. I worked for that. That's injustice right there. You know, we have earned it. But it's God who's given us the opportunity, the ability. And so it's not that we can just sit back and say, oh, this is all mine. I did this for myself. Or do we forget all that God has provided? I got to say, Stacy and I, you know, we work hard for the money that we earn, but we also acknowledge like all that was given to us, the head start that we were given in this life. Both of us were able to go through college debt-free, which is something that a whole lot of people can't say, right? Now, I know it was a while ago, and maybe college debt wasn't quite the problem then that it is now, but still, even then, we have friends that it took them, you know, a long time after graduation to finally pay off their student loans. And here we were blessed, in part because we had worked in high school and stuff like that, but she worked a lot more than I did, just so you know. I had a paper route, you know, I mowed some grass here and there, but not that much. It was almost entirely from parents and grandparents who had worked hard and had saved all their lives so they could be a blessing to their grandkids and help make sure that I could get through college without having to take on a load of debt to carry with me for decades afterwards. I could say, oh, I worked hard, got through college. You could work hard too. Come on. Oh, but wait, I got to remember all of the blessings that I was given, all that enabled me to do that, and that continue to bless me to this day. God is looking for a people, and he's the story there in Deuteronomy, the warning that God gives is, hey, be careful now. Otherwise, when you've got plenty, you're going to be tempted to think, ah, yep, this is mine. I did this, and to forget the God who has blessed you. When it said, like, you got to make sure not to forget the Lord and don't want to fail to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees, some of God's commands and laws and decrees had to do with financial, like, how to handle the stuff, right? If it belongs to God and he's entrusted it to us for a time and blessed us with it for our enjoyment and so that we can be a blessing to others, God doesn't just leave us without any instruction at all. In fact, his people, when he knew you're going to move into this land, he gave them instructions for how to lend money to each other. they weren't allowed to lend money at interest to their fellow Israelites. It had to be just an interest-free loan. He had laws about property and how if you had to sell off part of your land, every 50 years, that land would revert back to its original owners so that there couldn't be like cycles of generational poverty. Your grandkids would get that land back and could like kind of reset things. Every 7 years, debts were forgiven. And he cautioned them, if you see that year coming where the debt's about to be forgiven, you still, and your neighbor needs a loan, you still got to give it. You can't say, oh, sorry, you're a bad investment because I'm not going to get this money back. We're like 6 months from when I had to, all the debts are forgiven. I'm not loaning money to you right now. No, if you see a neighbor in need, you still have to help. God had given them instructions for their financial life that, unfortunately, we don't have any record if they ever actually followed those. If they ever actually did what God commanded them to do with their resources, we do know that time and again, they forgot about God. And they suffered consequences for that, and God had to continue to rescue them over and over again. The Bible's really clear. God is the owner. He blesses us. We are just stewards, is the word that's usually used for it. Stewardship, if you've heard that term, it just means like it's been entrusted to us, and now we've got to manage it well, what God has entrusted to us. The New Testament, we're going to turn to a story about that Jesus told real quick. So Jesus uses a story about a money manager to try to instruct his disciples and help them to get their head in the right place with regard to the stuff that's entrusted to us during this time on this earth, the money that we're given to manage. And it's funny to me because the example he gives is of a manager who was like dishonest, a manager who had mishandled his master's belongings. We've got it here. It's from Luke chapter 16. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what's this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. He says, you're not handling my stuff well. He was rich enough. He had hired somebody to handle all his stuff, right? His business manager or whatever. And he says, I hear you've been wasting my stuff. You're taking lavish trips on your own. You know, I don't know what he was doing, but he's like, you're going to be fired. Bring in the books. Give an account. The manager said to himself, oh, what shall I do now? My master's taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. He's like, I can't do manual labor. I'm not going to. Oh, I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. He's like, people will be hospitable toward me. I'll have a place to land. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. Holy cow. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Half off. I'm knocking out half your debt. I got to imagine that guy said, wait, what? Well, thank you very much. What was your name again? Rich, thank you. Rich, man, you're fantastic. I love you, man. Hey, if I can ever do anything for you, let me know. Oh, I will. You know, puts that guy's card in his back pocket, right? Then he asked the second, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill, make it 800. 20% off. Not the half off that the first guy got, but you know, still, your house isn't as nice. I want to stay at his house first, but then I'll come to you, you know. So he's like, he's just, you know, chopping off the debts that people owe his master. And you would think when the master hears about this, he's like, man, why didn't I take away your, you know, keys and email and all this stuff already? I should have had security escort you out first before you could do this to me. But instead it says the master commended the dishonest manager, because he'd acted shrewdly. Like, oh, smart move, yeah, nice. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. You got me there, you know. He commended him. He said he acted shrewdly. Jesus says, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. And I'm talking about, he's saying, like, there are people who don't care what God has to say, you know, people of the world. And then there are people who live in the light, who are trying to live God's way. And he says, they tend to be more shrewd about these things. And then he says, I tell you, use this worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. I need to pause there for just a second because it could sound like Jesus is saying, yeah, so use the money you got to, like, you know, just make friends. You know, it's like, hey, like this guy did, right? You know, if you need to, you know, mismanage your manager stuff, go for it. No, he's not saying that. He's saying that this manager realized, okay, I'm being called to account. This money was entrusted to me, and my time is up. And so I've got to, during the limited time that I have left, I need to handle these resources so that once my time with them is over, you know, there'll be good things waiting on the other side of that. And he's saying, that's what it's like for us. Each of us have a limited amount of time that these resources are in our hands, that God has blessed us with them. Another part of Scripture says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. You know, like, yep, we don't take it with us, right? You can pile it all in your casket when you leave or something, although your spouse, your kids won't love that. But, you know, you don't get to take it with you, right? It stays here. When we leave, it stays behind. We've got this limited amount of time to manage the resources that have been entrusted to us. And Jesus says, use those in a way that will bless others. So that in the life to come, you know, you'll have friends. You'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. He's saying you can make an eternal impact with these resources. We all have a little amount of time, a little bit of money. And if we want to manage them the way God says that we will, then we will. We won't spend it all on ourselves. We will find ways to be blessings to others. And then Jesus says, you know, it's been entrusted to us. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, again, the stuff we have temporarily, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And we all know that's true, right? If you're trying to work two jobs at the same time, which a whole lot of people are these days, there are going to be times where, you know, they both want you to come into work at the same time. You know, it's like, I got to choose one. I cannot serve them both. I can only be in one place at one time, and so you got to disappoint somebody. He says, you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And money is a terrible master. It's a great tool, terrible master. He says, money will try to be the boss of your life, will try to make you say, oh, you don't want to give me away. Oh, no, remember, we were going to do this fun thing with that. Oh, remember, we were going to, oh, and you might not have enough later. You tries to make us afraid, tries to make us anything but generous to people in need. He says, there are going to be times where God's going to say one thing and your money's going to say something else, and you got to choose. I want us to live as people who see ourselves living on mission for God. I want to see us living in a way that where we get the joy of seeing that what we have invested our money in is having an eternal impact, all right? Now, part of that, obviously, you can give to this church, and I think most of everyone in the room does. Probably some of you don't. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention, all right? But I know that many of you do, because you have found this to be a church that this church's mission is your mission. You said, this is where I'm being blessed spiritually. I want to bless this church financially. You like having a pastor who gets to do this full time. You don't want to have me to have to get a second job or something like that. And so you pay me enough to do it full time. You like having Pastor Judy here part time and Romeo here part time. And you like having Deb in the office. And you like having a building that we can have lights on and we can open up to do ministry in the community. You like all this stuff. And you said, I believe in this. I believe in what we're doing. And so I'm going to put my money where the mission is, and I'm going to give to this church. All right? Thank you to those of you who do that. We do it, and many of you do it. It's the only way this mission gets done together. Some of you have other places that you do that too. I'm not going to pretend the church is the only place to, like, put your dollars that you want to share with others. Some of you help people directly. You've got a family member in need, and you've been helping them for years, decades plus, and that's where a lot of your extra dollars go. That's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. Some of you do it directly for people in need that aren't part of your family, but just people you know that need help, and you directly help folks. That is a blessing. That is what God asks of us. Asks us to be generous toward those in need. That's a part of being faithful with the resources he's given us. Some of you know, you care a lot about some other cause that some other nonprofit organization is involved in, whether it's, you know, the school you went to, and so you send them money so they can keep, you know, having other students and all that, or you know, the animal shelter, or all the different nonprofits, Special Olympics that's going to be benefiting from the Taco Tuesday in a couple of weeks. All the different things that are good to do in the world, and we can be generous toward. here's the thing. My guess is that there's not a single one of us in the room that wouldn't like to be more generous, that wouldn't like to be like, well, yeah, I'd love to give to all of these things. I'd love to have a bigger impact here and here and here. And so my hope is that if we look at what God tells us, and if we get our head in the right place as far as, like, this all belongs to God, not to me. If we quit listening to the lesson that the world tries to teach us, then, like, this is me, this is mine, this is for me. If we'll listen to God and learn from Him, then I believe that God will, well, just like you said earlier, bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. I believe that as you trust God, as you follow Him, you will be, as He said earlier, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And that generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We're going to spend the next couple of Sundays talking about different aspects of this, especially some of the practical stuff to help us kind of be as generous as we want to be. And I'm going to do my best to answer questions that you might have about this church, about what the needs are here, or what happens to money that's sent to this church. I'm going to make sure we've got, like, the church financial stuff available to you the next two Sundays. If you want to see what the church spends money on, that's great. If you have questions about that, you've got time between now and next Sunday. Give me your questions. Ask away. We want to be an open book. You know, we're not hiding anything here. So if you're going to entrust some of those dollars to Living Hope, I'm sure that you want to make sure that it's being handled well and all the rest. So if you have questions, please ask so that I can answer them these next two Sundays. And if you have questions just about money in general, what does God say about it? If there's some particular aspect of it that you're curious about, let me know. We've got two Sundays to give to this before we move on to other topics. And if you have a story that you'd like to share, because I know from talking to many of you, that many of you have told me over the years, like, oh man, God has been so faithful. I trusted Him, even when it was difficult, even when I was going through those wilderness times. I learned to trust God, and I trusted Him with our resources. Some of you talk about learning to tithe. You know, from the time you first earned a dollar, you gave a tenth of that back to God. You gave a dime back to God, and you followed that principle all your life, and you've seen the way that God has blessed you and been faithful to you. And if you have a story that you want to share of God's faithfulness, and you'd be willing to share it one of these next couple of Sundays, let me know, and I'll bring you the microphone here in the next couple of weeks, okay? And you can share some of your story. Because there are folks in the room right now who are saying, I don't know. Can we trust God in this way? I don't know. I mean, I barely am making ends meet as it is. I don't think I have extra. How would I do that? And it might be your story that encourages them to look further. Or it might be your example that inspires them to reorganize their finances in a way that says, yes, I want to be generous. I want to live my life on mission. And I want my money to be on mission too. And so if they could do it, maybe I can do it. If they can set aside a part of it, every paycheck, maybe I can set aside some every paycheck. If God's been faithful to them, maybe God will be faithful to me. Again, not twisting anybody's arm. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That presumes that you are talking to God, that you're recognizing, okay, God, this is your money. You've entrusted it to me. What would you have me do with this money? What would you have me do with these resources? What would you have me do with the blessings you have provided? Maybe blessings from others that you've inherited. Maybe blessings from your own work and the effort of your own hands as you've taken advantage of the opportunities God has given. But it presumes that you're talking to God and then that you're going to be obedient to Him. So that's what I'm going to pray for you right now before we celebrate communion and before we go. If you'd be willing to bow your heads with me. God, thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Some of us in this room right now, we're kind of in that wilderness part of life. We have very little, and you are helping us to learn to trust you with each and every day that you will provide for our needs. Some of us, God, we're on the other end of that spectrum, and we are living a life that has been richly blessed by you. Thank you, God, that you are faithful in each and every one of these circumstances. Thank you for the ways that you provide so that our needs are met. Thank you for providing everything for our enjoyment. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a part of your generous work in the world, your gracious work, that we can use some of the resources you have entrusted to us to make an eternal difference in the lives of other people. Thank you, God. I pray that you'd help each of us this week. I don't know, to maybe have some conversations with you about this. God, I pray that you would help us to be open. If there is some way that we have maybe we're looking at our money for some reason, the money that's coming in or the money that's going out, and maybe, God, you, by your Holy Spirit, you're going to say something to us. God, I pray you'd help us to be open to your voice, to your wisdom, to your direction. Thank you, God. Thank you for the love that you have shown to each and every one of us, for your faithful love. You've shown this love in such a dramatic way, in a definitive way, in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Thank you, God, that we get to celebrate together with Christians around the world this sacrament of Holy Communion. We get to offer to you these simple gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, that we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body, in his blood. Jesus, when you were with your disciples, you took bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup. You gave thanks. You said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." So today, Lord Jesus, as we come to your table, we do remember the great love that you have for each one of us. The way that you held nothing back, but you gave all of who you are, taking our sin on yourself, suffering the death that sin brings, so that by your death and resurrection, you could break the power of sin and death. You could defeat our enemy, the devil, and set us free. Help us to live in that freedom that comes from recognizing one Master, Heavenly Father. Help us not to enslave ourselves to any others. Help us not to turn back to old habits, old ways of life that we have found to be, less than, that we found to be perhaps even destructive of ourselves, of relationships, of this world. God, set us free from all of that so that we can live the life you created us to live. It's possible, God, that today you're dealing with some of us about stuff that has nothing to do with what I've said, but right now, as we're thinking about coming to you, as we're thinking about the great love that you have shown us, as we're thinking about the fact that we need your grace, we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always been faithful in the way we've handled our resources. Or maybe, God, there's some other totally different thing that today you're dealing with us about, and we need to recognize, God, that's sin. You're right. I need to step away from that. I need to turn my back on that. I need to repent of that and turn toward you. God, thank you that you forgive our sins. Your word tells us you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You wash away the stain of it, and you give us a fresh start, a new life, the life you created us to live, the life you redeemed us for when you sent your Son Jesus. Thank you, God. Help us to live that life by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ, we pray, that we might be changed, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons, your daughters. And we will give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. Pastor Judy, if you'd be willing to serve with me, we'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it and return to your seats. We've got the regular little pita bread. We've got round gluten-free wafers or some little cups that you can take back that they have the bread and the juice in them. If you'd rather not touch something somebody else touched, you can use one of those. And we have some of those in a basket by the door that some of you grab on your way in. Basically, we want everybody to be able to participate today. If you're saying yes to Jesus, if today you are hungry for his grace, grateful for his love, then let's come to his table and let's celebrate the amazing love he's shown us in his son Jesus. God, thank you for being so generous with your love toward us. Help us to reflect that generosity as we go to those you send us to this week, that we can be generous with our lives, with your grace, with all that you've entrusted to us. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen.